Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City, Oregon. We're going to look at now Jesus Christ, who he is, Christology number 3, the third section in our study on Christology, words about Jesus Christ taken from the Holy Bible, words of Jesus Christ. So these are verses, Bible verses, that let us know who Jesus Christ is so that we can have confidence and encouragement and comfort and hope and peace and joy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more we get to know him, the more conformed to Christ-likeness that we might become, and then also the more that we can help other people get to know him as well. This is life, knowing Jesus Christ and the Father whom he has sent. Trust that these studies and teachings on our website are helpful to you. Click around the different topics, Old and New Testament, and different topics, different studies and doctrines that we have here. And don't forget to possibly share them with your friends. You can email them a link and so that they can study and know them too, different things, because many places it's getting harder and harder to find just a good, practical, solid Bible teaching. And we pray that you will pray for us and that the Lord will use these things to help you. So Christology, our third section from the PDF, the verses that should be on your PDF that you have attached with this, omniscient, that Jesus Christ knows everything at all times, actually. He's all-knowing. He knows what is in man. John 2:25 says, "And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows all about us. He knows when we're good and bad. He knows what's in our heart, what our motives are. So Jesus Christ, if he knows those things, then he is the Lord God himself. He knows who do not believe, those who do not believe. John 6:64 says, talking to his disciples and apostles, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." So first of all, he knew the man, Judas Iscariot, Jesus Christ, who would betray him. But also he knew those who were imposters, those who were just, I guess, fake Christians, if you will, who really did not believe in their hearts that Jesus was their personal Savior and did not that. So he said that he knew, the Bible says, he knew who they were that believed not. And we just have to ask, are we people who believe or are we people who do not believe? Jesus knows, and we need to come to him with our burdens and with our sins, that he may take care of them. Well, he knows all things. John 21:17 says, "He saith unto him the third time," to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me? Do you love me, Peter?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus is reinstating Peter. He had already seen him. He was resurrected. When Christ was resurrected, he appeared to Peter first of all, one of the first ones, actually, of his apostles, and possibly by himself, too, to reinstate him and to get forgiveness, because the last time the Lord saw Peter and Peter saw Jesus was that the Lord, Peter had denied the Lord three times, and then Peter wept. And so, what a sad thing that was. Peter said, "I'll go to the cross with you. I'll go to the death with you." And Peter said, "No, the cock is going to crow after you deny me three times." So now, the Lord's asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Well, Peter's guarded in his answer, as we know, as we look into this a little deeper, but he's very guarded and says, "Well, you know to the extent that I love you, and I do, but I'm very careful because I know that I denied you." And the Lord's very gracious, and he says, "Well, if you really love me, then feed my sheep. Teach the other believers because Peter was an apostle, Peter was a teacher. So not only is the Lord Jesus all-knowing, but he's present everywhere. He's omnipresent. Matthew 18:20 says that he's in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So here we're talking about a prayer meeting or a gathering of believers. Two or three. Not very many. I guess you could say here's the what's the minimum required for a church meeting? Two or three, because there Christ is in the midst of them, with them. And so then you would have three or four, because Christ is present when believers are gathered together in that manner, in that way. And so a lot of times people for churches, I think, well, how many people do you have? What's the roll call? How many members? How many? The number is very important, but yet Christ himself is the most important. Maybe we should be saying is, was Christ present when you met together? Was Christ honored when you were gathered together? Was Christ revered? Did you have the peace and joy and love of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit when you met together? See, and so it doesn't matter how many, if Christ is not in the midst and not working, then so. But anyway, if he's in the midst of a church here and one across town, one across the state, one across the nation, one across the world, then he has to be present everywhere in order to be present spiritually, I guess you could say, with those meetings. Well, Matthew 28:20 says that he's always with us. Part of the great commandment here, the great commission, I should say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Christ is with us as we are teaching and as we are carrying about his commission. He's commissioned us. Then he's with us as we're teaching, as we're preaching the gospel, as we're telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're studying together. John 14:23 says that he abides with us. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So Jesus Christ is abiding with us. So he's there. Not only is he present everywhere, but he's life. He's life himself. Our first one is that there's life in him. John 1:4 says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus Christ in himself was life. And then also we see in John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. So he has life in himself, similar to the first one. But if he has life in himself, he can give life to others as well. Eternal life, abundant life. John 10:10 says he's the giver of life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So here's abundant life, salvation in Jesus Christ, life, and life abundantly, more abundantly, it says. And so his quality of life, his eternal life. Paul said, Christ, who is our life? Who is my life? Who is our life? John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here it just says that he is the life. And then also, he is endless life. Hebrews 7:16 says, who is made, talking about a priest, he's made a priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So he's a priest forever because his life never ends. So he's our intercessor forever. He's the one that holds us close to the Father forever because he has an endless life and never ends. Another verse that we could put in there It's on this line. It's 1 John 5:2. You could jot that down. 1 John 5:12. Very simply, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." So if you're saved, if you have Christ in your life, if you're born again, then you have life. If you have the Son, then you have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have not come to Christ as Savior, if you're not born again, if you're a scorner or have rejected the Lord and don't want anything to do with him, or just have not made up your mind yet and have not received him as your Savior, you do not have life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is life himself, and he's the life giver as well. Well, Christ is holy. Christ is holy. Talking about the holy child in Mary's womb, in Luke 1:35, the angel is talking to her. It says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." That's how you're going to get pregnant. It's going to be God giving you conception in the womb. "Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." See, he's saying the holy thing that shall be born of thee. This is the child that's going to be born. The holy thing, what's in you now, what's in your womb, that holy thing, that holy child is holy. See, holy, of the Lord, holy. God is holy. Not only is the Lord life, but he's holy. He's a holy priest. Hebrews 7:26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven." So he's holy. We have a high priest who is holy. Now, what does that mean? Well, it defines it here. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's separate from sin, separate from sinners, but yet he knows how to reach out and to save sinners. Revelation 3:7 says that he's holy. "To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These saith he that is holy." He that is holy. So, and we see in the context there that Jesus Christ, that's talking about Jesus Christ. He is holy. Tells us right there. And we need to be holy because he's holy. He's made us holy in our position, but we also need to be holy in the way that we live as well. Separate from sin. In the world, but not of the world. Okay, he is truth. He is truth. John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't get saved apart from coming to Christ. That's how you get to heaven. That's how you get to the Father. But here it says, not only is he life, like we looked at before, not only is he the way, but he's the truth. He's that which is true. Interesting, in academic world, people want to discover the truth, look for the truth. Science is knowledge. Find out what is true. But yet, how can you really have true understanding and true knowledge without the truth, without Jesus Christ? Because he is the truth. In fact, he says that, "I am the truth." John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth." He is also true. Revelation 3:7. Again, it's talking about, it just says, "To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true." So now that we added, not only is he holy and separate from sin, but he is also true. That which is truth and true. And love. Love. John 13:1, he says he loved his own. He loved the apostles, the disciples who were there with him on this earth. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." See, he loved his own. How much did he love them? People say, well, he opened his arms up wide, and that's how. And then he died on the cross. He had to spread his arms open on the cross in order to get nailed to the cross. And so they nailed him there. That's how much he, He loved us. He loved his the people then. He loves us now to the end, to the death on the cross. So he loves us. The love of God, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we need to have that kind of love too. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We don't give up our life to pay for someone else's sins, but we should love them with our lives, love them unto the death. So, but here we perceive, we know, we have knowledge of, we understand the love of God, the great love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Well, that's talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary for us. And then our last verse in this passage for Christology, section number 3, words about Jesus Christ, no greater love, John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, notice he didn't just say love one another, love other people as you would want to be loved. That's true. But now it's gone beyond that. Love one another as I have loved you. Oh, okay. Christ, how did you love me? Well, with that perfect love, with that love of love, with that ultimate love, with that agape love, with God's quality and kind of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that's the kind of love that Christ had for us, that he laid down his life for us. And not only that, is that's the kind of love that we ought to have one to another as believers, as Christians, as believers in Christ. In fact, he says, this is my suggestion. No, it's my commandment. A lot of times people look at, whoa, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, here's a commandment that we should keep, something that the Lord has told us to do. And it has to do with love, loving one another. As I have loved you. See, loving other Christians, we should love everybody, but the kind of love that Christ has for us, as he loved us, greater love than no man had this, man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus showed us how to love, and he told us how to love, and then we ought to love one another. So these great words about Christ, what we've ended with here is love. Started out that he's all-knowing and present everywhere and looking at life and truth and love. God is love. There's another verse there, but many of these verses we could get other many other verses with this as well and add to this, but sometimes they're generally speaking about God, but these are more specific about the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. So before we had asked about are you saved? And if so, are you saved? Are you sharing the gospel with other people? But here we're asking, and the Bible's telling us, are we loving one another? Are we loving other Christians and other believers in our fellowship, in our church assemblies, as we should, as Jesus Christ has told us to? Again, share these messages with others so others can be built up in these difficult days that we live in, perilous times. Thank you for listening.